Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, May 10th, 2019. Coming up this hour,
President Trump makes good on his pledge to boost tariffs on China.
U.S. futures slide, stocks in Asia rebound, and treasuries hold steady.
Plus, Uber makes its Wall Street debut after pricing shares near the bottom of its range.
President Trump picks acting Pentagon Chief Patrick Shanahan as Defense Secretary. Plus, ex-FBI Director Comey has harsh words for the Attorney General. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stash, Aaron Swartz. Yankees only allowed two hits. Beat the Mariners to stadium. NBA playoff wins for Philadelphia and Portland. Boston won in the NHL.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. futures are lower, with the S&P 500 poised for its worst week of the year. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 8 points, Dow futures down 42, NASDAQ futures down 13. The DAX in Germany is up 0.9%, CAC in Paris up 0.7%, FTSE 100 up 0.5%. Nikkei 225 in Japan fell 0.2%, while the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was up 0.8%. 10-year Treasury up down 0.3, the yield 2.45%, yield on the 2-year 2.25%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.5% or 28 cents to $61.98 a barrel. COMEX gold little change, up 60 cents at $12.85.70 an ounce. The euro 1.1233 against the dollar. The yen 109.83. Nathan.
Karen, we begin with the U.S. hiking tariffs on more than $200 billion in Chinese goods, the most dramatic step yet in the trade war. It comes as concessions, or negotiations, I should say, yesterday made little progress. Bloomberg's Jody Schneider with more from Hong Kong.
The China hawks in President Trump's administration have really been quite vocal that they think China has really started to renege on some of the promises they had made. President Trump also saying that he thinks the tariffs have actually helped the economy. He's saying that China's giving billions and billions to the U.S. economy in terms of tariffs. Of course, as economists point out, a lot of that gets taken away because consumers have to pay more for those goods.
Those tariffs were imposed at midnight. China quickly followed with a statement saying it will retaliate, but no details yet on what form that retaliation may take.
Negotiations are set to resume this morning in Washington and could even drag on into the 2020 election, according to Mizuho chief economist Steve Ricciuto.
Trump has a desire to make sure that he either gets full capitulation from China or he delays this thing as long as he possibly can, holding out the benefits to those Rust Belt states that are key to his potential reelection.
President Trump also says he's going ahead with preparations to impose 25% tariffs on an additional $325 billion in goods from China. Such a move would take weeks to deploy and would have significant repercussions for the U.S., Chinese, and global economies.
Now, this latest escalation of the trade war made for a volatile day in Asia. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us from Singapore with details. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Well, the CSI 300 fell immediately after the lunch break when the tariffs were introduced at midnight Washington time, before resuming earlier gains and rallying into the close amid speculation of state-based buying following a turbulent week for Chinese equities. The CSI 300 gained 3.6%. Japanese stocks, though, closed in the red but off the day's lows, the Nikkei 225 finishing down 0.3% in Tokyo. Well, despite the price action, this week, though, was a turbulent one for Asian investors, the MSCI Asia Pacific Index posting a weekly loss of more than 3.5%. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thank you. Stocks in Europe are also bouncing back from yesterday's losses. Bloomberg's Ewan Potts joins us live from London with the very latest. Good morning, Ewan.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. Trade war? What trade war? European stocks in the green this morning with investors shrugging off worries about Trump's new China tariffs. 3 hours into the trading day and the Stoxx 600 is up 0.7%. Tech stocks and mining companies at the top of the table. And some economic data for you. UK GDP dropped 0.1% in March from February. Economists had expected no change. Live in London, I'm Ewan Potts, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ewan, thank you. Now, the next catalyst for markets could be China's formal response to the tariffs. In the meantime, we await data on U.S. inflation due out at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. Economists forecast the consumer price index gained for the third straight month, rising 0.4% in April. Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice reports.
The Federal Reserve is looking for evidence that the current trend of low inflation is transitory. Thursday's data on producer prices were muted. Bloomberg Economics says a run-up in gasoline prices adds upside risk to today's CPI headline relative to Wall Street consensus. A full-fledged breakout is doubtful, though. The Fed's preferred measure of inflation, core PCE, currently stands at a one-year low. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thank you. Turning to corporate news now. The biggest IPO of the year begins trading today. Uber sold shares in its initial public offering at $45 apiece near the bottom of their marketed range. Mitchell Green is a partner at Lead Edge Capital and an investor in Uber.
This deal isn't going to pop 50% because it's just there's so much volume in the stock. It's not like these small software IPOs where they raise $200 to $500 million. The most important thing for us is to price this thing so it works. Let your public market investors come in, make some money. They'll continue to buy in the aftermarket and continue to support the stock.
Uber raised $8.1 billion in its IPO, giving the ride-hailing company a valuation of $75 billion.
Now, by pricing shares near the bottom of its target range, Uber is hoping to avoid the volatile trading we've seen from Lyft. That company's shares have slumped more than 20% since its IPO. Still, though, there are questions about Uber's prospects for growth. Shira Ovadeh is a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion.
The core business in on-demand rides has stopped growing. Bookings, which is the total value of fares, might actually decline in the first quarter, which is, you know, not a great thing. You don't want declines if you're supposed to be a growth company.
And tune in later today to hear from Uber CEO Dara Khosrowshahi. He sits down for a conversation with Bloomberg Radio and Television around 1 p.m. today, Wall Street time.
And futures this morning are moving lower. S&P futures down about 7 points. Dow futures down 30. NASDAQ futures down 8. The 10-year Treasury down 3/32, yield 2.45%. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. 6:07 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr is here to tell us more what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. President Donald Trump plans to nominate Patrick Shanahan as acting Pentagon chief and former Boeing executive as defense secretary. Shanahan spoke to reporters after Trump's announcement.
The biggest challenge is balancing it all. I'd say, you know, for me, it's about practicing selectful neglect so that we can stay focused on the future.
Shanahan also says the U.S. will stick to our diplomacy with North Korea over the North's new missile tests. Experts suggest Pyongyang may have acquired or cloned a short-range missile the Russian military has long earmarked for export. It comes as the U.S. seized a North Korean cargo ship accused of violating economic sanctions. Former Army intelligence analyst Chelsea Manning was released from a Northern Virginia jail after a 2-month stay for refusing to testify to a federal grand jury investigating WikiLeaks. Former FBI Director James Comey is criticizing Attorney General William Barr's public rollout of Special Counsel Robert Mueller's report. Comey tells a CNN town hall he initially said he would give Barr the benefit of the doubt, but changed his mind.
I said that because I think his career had earned that. And so I tried to withhold judgment. He did a very good thing in offering transparency. Most of the report is unredacted, so we could see it. And then I think he acted in a way that's less than honorable in the way he described it in writing and described it during a press conference and continues to talk as if he's the president's lawyer. That is not the attorney general's job.
Comey also says it sure looks like there's enough evidence to prosecute President Trump for obstruction based on the Mueller report. Meanwhile, President Trump is anticipating a battle with House Judiciary Chairman Jerry Nadler after Attorney General Barr was held in contempt for defying a subpoena for the unredacted Mueller report.
Guys like Jerry Nadler, who I fought for many years, successfully, I might add, back in New York in Manhattan, he was a Manhattan congressman, I beat him all the time. And I come to Washington, and now I have to beat him again.
The president also says he was very surprised to see his son, Donald Trump Jr., subpoenaed by the Senate Intelligence Committee, saying he is a very good person who works very hard. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. It's 6:09 on Wall Street now. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with John Stashower.
Nathan, tonight after the Yankees gave up 10 runs, they allowed only one, and that came on a Seattle home run with two outs of the ninth inning. Good thing Gio Urshela had come through with a two-out, two-run single in the eighth. That stretched the Yankee lead from 1-0 to 3-0. They beat the Mariners 3-1. Jay Happ with his best start of the season. Five scoreless innings, allowed only one hit, and Aaron Boone's bullpen took over from there.
You know, obviously liked Otto in that right-handed lane there, so he came in and got through that inning, made a big pitch, obviously, to get double play ball. Tommy was really efficient. Zach was really good. And then I thought Chappie threw the ball great. You know, even though he gave up the homer, I thought that was, you know, maybe about as good as he's been, too.
First to Adam Ottavino, Tommy Cayley, Zach Britton, Aroldis Chapman. The Yanks take 3-4 in the series, 5-7 on the homestand. And tonight they play the first of 19 games still remaining with Tampa Bay, who's been in first place all season. They're currently a game and a half ahead. Domingo Germán tonight against the Rays. Tyler Glasnow. Glasnow is 6-0 with a 1.47 ERA. Germán is 6-1. Mets back home tonight from Miami. NBA playoffs, the two teams that got blown out in Game 5, both came home and won Game 6, and now two Game 7s on Sunday. Philadelphia took Toronto 112-101. Portland beat Denver 119-108. Another Game 6 tonight in Houston. Golden State's up 3-2, but the Warriors are without the injured Kevin Durant. Stanley Cup playoffs, Game 1 of the East Final won by Boston, 5-2 over Carolina. Bruins scored four times in the third period. The Islanders only scored five goals in their entire four-game series versus the Hurricanes. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan.
All right, John, thanks. And tonight on Bloomberg's Business of Sports show, we speak with the man who spent more than $10 billion on Fox's regional sports networks. You can catch our conversation with Sinclair CEO Christopher Ripley tonight at 8 and tomorrow at 11 a.m. or anytime if you subscribe to Bloomberg Business of Sports as a podcast. Futures pointing lower. S&P futures down 6 points now. Dow futures down 25 points. NASDAQ futures down nearly 6 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Brought to you by Bernstein Medical. Losing your hair? Learn how Bernstein Medical uses your own hair to create natural, permanent results. Explore BernsteinMedical.com or visit their Manhattan Center. Bernstein Medical, a world leader in robotic hair transplants.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moskow. It is 6:17 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines with Hannah George at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Karen. The White House has made good on its threat to hike tariffs on $200 billion of Chinese goods. The increase raises levies to 25% on more than 5,700 product categories. Currency manipulation is back on the agenda. Sources tell Bloomberg the US will expand the number of countries it scrutinizes for foreign exchange practices. Uber priced its IPO near the bottom of its range. The company sold 180 million shares for $45 each, giving it a market cap of $75 billion. And earnings from Vale disappointed, swinging to a $1.6 billion loss after its dam disaster. Results came in below the most bearish estimates as the miners set aside $4.5 billion for damages related to the accident. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen.
Hannah, thank you. S&P futures are down 6.5 points. Dow futures down 29. NASDAQ futures down 10. The DAX in Germany is up 1%. 10-year Treasury down 3/32, yield 2.45%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.26%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.33% or 21 cents to $61.92 a barrel. And COMEX gold up $1, less than 0.1% at $12.86.20 an ounce. The euro 1.1229 against the dollar. The yen 109.83. That's a balloon. Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Trump is nominating Patrick Shanahan to be his Secretary of Defense. Shanahan, who is the acting secretary at the Pentagon, says the U.S. will stick to our diplomacy when it comes to North Korea. Former FBI Director James Comey says Attorney General William Barr has acted less than honorable in his public rollout of the special counsel's report. Comey, during a CNN town hall, says that Barr still continues to talk as if he is the president's lawyer. In baseball, the Yankees won along with the Nationals. The A's lost along with the Giants. In the NHL playoffs, the Bruins won Game 1 of their Eastern Conference Final against the Hurricanes. In the NBA playoffs, there will be Game 7s after last night. The 76ers beat the Raptors while the Trailblazers beat the Nuggets. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. It is now 6:20 on Wall Street. And live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. On a morning when tariffs have gone up on another $200 billion of Chinese imports as we await new inflation data, the Consumer Price Index coming out later this morning, just another Friday for Bloomberg Chief U.S. Economist Carl Riccadonna. What you want to talk about?
Sure. Well, let's link it all together.
Yeah, let's
between,
do.
Tariffs and CPI. And what's interesting is through all the tariffs we saw over the course of last year, it really didn't show up to any meaningful degree on consumers' radar screens.
Yeah.
So we can look at things like the CPI. We can look at things like import prices. We can look even more narrowly at import prices of goods from China. Things really did not look different in 2018 relative to the prior 5 years.
But could they look different now when you're talking about 25% tariffs on potentially more goods and the possibility of tariffs on just about everything that China brings into this country if the president follows through on that threat?
I'm going to stop you halfway there because if we go from 10 to 25% on $200 billion worth of goods, which is what happened at midnight last night, the price tag on that is basically the same price tag as everything we saw last year. So we survived last year. Now we had the tailwind at our backs thanks to the tax reforms last year. So just to
that's over.
Right. To assume that what we could endure last year, we can endure this year, maybe is a little bit of a leap of faith here. But as you mentioned in the second part of the question, if we're now enacting 25% tariffs on the additional $325 billion worth of goods, that becomes a much larger price tag. That's about over $80 billion. So you add $30 billion from last night's measures, $80 billion from those pending measures on the remaining goods. Now we're talking of an impact over $100 billion worth on consumer spending and the U.S. economy. That starts to move the needle on growth. My team estimates that if we saw that full execution of everything you mentioned was threatened, that could start to impact GDP on the order of about 50 basis points. And then you're changing things. What we're seeing now, probably worth a tenth or two on GDP, depending on Chinese retaliation. If we go full bore, then we're starting to move the needle a lot more
broadly. Do you have to wait to see how these tariffs, the ones that have already been imposed, play out over the next few months to get a firmer read?
Absolutely. So economists don't have a lot of precedent for trade escalation. The last 80 years, the story has been trade liberalization.
Yeah.
So often economists panic and go back to the Smoot-Hawley era of the 1930s, where the U.S. economy was a very different beast. And so it's kind of hard to draw those analogies. So we really do have to see how it plays out because we don't know how much substitution of product there will be. There are some things that come from China that absolutely cannot be replaced, and that means the 25% price increase gets fully passed through to consumers. Rare earth minerals that go into iPhone screens and technology equipment, for example. But a lot of product, whether it's apparel or other kind of low technology product, can be sourced elsewhere for not a whole lot more in terms of price, and that means that you don't get a 25% pass-through, you get something much smaller.
Only about 30 seconds left. Shall we talk about CPI?
Let's talk about CPI very briefly.
Yeah.
So the inflation we're seeing in the CPI isn't happening in the goods and the tariff and those types of corners. It's happening in the service-oriented part of the CPI. Rents, wage costs, those types of things. We should start to see today in both the headline and core a turn from that soft patch we saw at the end of last year.
But still too early to change the bias.
Too early to change the bias for policymakers. They are patient, and it's going to take a long time to push them off of that perch.
Does patience change depending on the tariffs?
I don't think patience changes if we're just talking about the tariffs that went into effect last night. If we go full-bore trade war, then they may actually need to take some measures to avert.
Bloomberg Chief U.S. Economist Carl Riccadonna. Thank you. Good seeing
you. Sure thing.
And as we look at the markets this morning, S&P futures are down 5, Dow futures down 17, NASDAQ futures down 4 points. Stay with us. We will have much more on all of this between the tariffs and the inflation read, plus the latest on Uber's IPO, and we'll take a look at some of the biggest movers in early trading. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Good morning. And it's 6:25 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by National Realty, NRIA, developers of high-return income-producing properties for investor partners. See them at NRIA.net.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. We are seeing a mixed picture in equity markets after the U.S. hiked tariffs on more than $200 billion in Chinese goods. China says it'll be forced to retaliate. Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis has more from Hong Kong.
China says it deeply regrets the U.S. increase, but that it's willing to talk. And it hopes to resolve the issues through cooperation and negotiation. Earlier, President Trump said that he received a beautiful letter from Chinese President Xi Jinping, and he said the two leaders would probably speak by phone. It was a far cry from the president's proclamations yesterday. They broke the deal. They broke the deal. In Hong Kong, Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Brian, thank you. As for the markets, U.S. futures are lower, but they've pulled back from their lowest losses, with the S&P 500 poised for its worst week of the year. Stocks in China rose 3.6% as Beijing took steps to stabilize its market. State-backed funds bought domestic equities.
Uber begins trading today after pricing its IPO near the low end of its marketed range. We get the details from Bloomberg's Doug Krisner.
The ride-hailing company sold 180 million shares at $45 each. Now, this will raise $8.1 billion. Uber is hoping to avoid the fate of rival Lyft. Its shares fell below the IPO price of $72 within days of listing. For Uber, based on the amount of stock outstanding after the offering, it now has a market value of $75.5 billion. I'm Doug Krisner, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Doug. In Europe, the UK economy grew 0.5% in the first quarter. However, growth contracted by 0.1% in March.
We get another reading on U.S. inflation this morning. Economists forecast the consumer price index rose 0.4% in April.
All right, let's check some stocks on the move in early trading. Symantec shares are down 16.5%. CEO Greg Clark is stepping down and leaving the security software maker's board. Company's first quarter profit was also below estimates.
Shares of Dropbox are up 7%. The maker of cloud-based file sharing software reported profit and sales that beat analyst estimates.
GoPro shares are up 7.5%. The maker of action sports cameras raised its annual sales forecast.
Right now, S&P futures are lower, down 4.5 points. Dow futures down 12. NASDAQ futures down 4. The DAX in Germany is up 1.1%. 10-year Treasury down 4/32. The yield 2.45%. The yield on the 2-year 2.26%. And NYMEX crude oil up 0.6% or 36 cents to $62.06 a barrel. The euro 1.1228 against the dollar. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. It's 6:33 on Wall Street, and here's Michael Barr with more of what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. President Trump is nominating Patrick Shanahan to be his Secretary of Defense. After Jim Mattis resigned, Shanahan, a former Boeing executive, was tapped to lead the Pentagon as acting secretary in January. Speaking to reporters, Shanahan discussed North Korea.
We're going to stick to our diplomacy, and as you all know, we haven't changed our operations or our posture.
Meanwhile, experts say North Korea's latest launches suggest it may have acquired or cloned a short-range missile the Russian military has long earmarked for export. Former Army intelligence analyst Chelsea Manning was released from a Northern Virginia jail after a 2-month stay for refusing to testify to a grand jury. Upon release, Manning was subpoenaed to appear before a different grand jury. Former FBI Director James Comey says Attorney General William Barr has acted less than honorable in his public rollout of the special counsel's report. Comey, during a CNN town hall, says Barr still continues to talk as if he is the president's lawyer. Comey also says the Mueller findings appear to show President Trump attempted to obstruct justice.
It sure looks like he did, in connection with a couple episodes. The direction to Don McGahn to get the special counsel fired is, to my mind, a flaming example.
Meanwhile, President Trump says there should be no further investigation stemming from the Mueller report.
Bob Mueller is no friend of mine. I had conflicts with him. We had a business dispute. We had somebody that is in love with James Comey.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is again cautioning against the rush to impeachment. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
Pelosi says there is a mid-ground.
Impeach or nothing. No, it's not that. It's a path that is producing results and gathering information.
Having said that,
it's appalling that this administration would not even pretend to want to protect our elections and, in fact, be an obstacle to our finding out more about how it happened so we can prevent it from happening again.
She says whatever is done has to be not for the sake of politics, but to protect the Constitution. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 6:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with John Stenshar.
Nathan, still only in May, but pretty big series this weekend for the Yankees. Tampa Bay has been in first place all season, currently game and a half ahead of the Yanks. The two teams meet for the first time. Yanks had a good homestand, going 5-2, took 3-4 from Seattle last night. 3-1. The Mariners had only two hits. One was a home run with two outs in the ninth inning. That spoiled the shutout. Jay Happ's best outing. Aaron Boone was asked about Happ's fastball.
You know, my first look from the side, I thought he threw it by a lot of good right-hand hitters for that team that are good on the ball in even, and it was playing all day long, even at the finish. You know, got a little bit trouble just pitch-wise and walking a couple guys that drove his pitch count up, but four-seam-wise, I thought that was the best he's been.
Biggest Yankee hit came from Gio Urshela, 2-out, 2-1 single in the eighth inning. A milestone for the Angels, Albert Pujols, 2,000 RBIs. Only others to do that are Hank Aaron and Alex Rodriguez. Babe Ruth not on the list only because RBIs weren't counted the first 6 years of his career. NBA playoffs, Philadelphia and Portland lost their game fives by a combined 62 points, but both came home and won game six. Sixers, 112-101 over Toronto. Jimmy Butler scored 25. Blazers, 119-108 over Denver. The backcourt of Damian Lillard and C.J. McCollum combined for 62. So two game sevens both on Sunday, and Houston will try to force a game seven with Golden State. Game six is tonight. No Kevin Durant for the Warriors due to his injured calf. Stanley Cup playoffs, Bruins, a four-goal third period, won the East Final opener with Carolina 5-2. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stanshower. Nathan.
All right, John, thank you. 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
When the findings of a landmark UN report on biodiversity came out this week, the headlines ran the gamut from depressing to apocalyptic. 1 million species face extinction. Almost a third of the world's reforming coral species, more than a third of its shark species, and 40% of its amphibian species could die out. These grim findings were all important and worthy of attention. But amid the gloom, a major point of the report went largely unnoticed. It doesn't have to be this way. Lost amid the headlines, the report had some good news. Nearly 8% of the world's ocean is now protected from overfishing, an 11-fold increase since 2000. Conservation efforts in 109 countries lowered the extinction risk for birds and mammals by 30%. The successes are too few and easy to overlook, but they point to what can be done. The science shows that a better world is possible. The enemy isn't humanity, it's hopelessness. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Opinion Editorial Board. I'm David Shipley. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. 6:38 now on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Patrice Sikora.
Clothing companies from fast fashion to luxury names have announced new commitments to sustainability in recent years, but progress has been elusive. The industry's carbon emissions are estimated to top those of international flights and maritime shipping combined. A report by consultancy BCG and Sustained Fashion Groups finds all the recycled water bottle sneakers, organic cotton totes, and mushroom leather belts on retailer shelves last season failed to make a meaningful impact on the industry's environmental footprint. Efforts are undermined by surging demand for fashion in developing countries. Many of the smaller brands, as well as companies producing clothes sold informally in street markets, have yet to take steps to improve sustainability. The report notes this category adds up to about 30% of the global fashion market. But environmental issues are increasingly becoming a selling point for customers. More than a third say they have switched brands for one that stands for more positive environmental or social practices. That's a Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Patrice Sikora.
All right, Patrice, thank you. It is 6:39 on Wall Street. Chris Hughes, co-founder of Facebook with Mark Zuckerberg, says the company's become too powerful and influential. In an op-ed for the New York Times, Hughes is calling for Facebook to be broken up. But that's easier said than done. Here with more, Bloomberg Intelligence litigation analyst Jennifer Rhee.
The FTC and DOJ, they have to work within the constraints of the statutes. And we have courts that have been very, very sympathetic to big business and require an awful lot in order for the Federal Trade Commission, let's say, to reach the standards that it has to reach in order to have a remedy, which is a breakup.
A process like that could take years, include several appeals, and potentially be appealed all the way to the Supreme Court. Futures, little change now. S&P futures down 2 points. That's off earlier losses. Dow futures are now up 12 points. NASDAQ futures up nearly 6. Price of the 10-year down 4/32. The yield 2.45%. 2-year treasuries at 2.26%. The stock 600 in Europe is up 0.8%. Stay with us. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Coming up to 6:41 on Wall Street, straight ahead, we check in on the nation's capital, where the Trump administration has imposed higher tariffs on Chinese imports as trade talks resume this morning.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It is 6:47 on Wall Street. Futures are now little change. They have trimmed their losses. Dow futures have turned higher. We go to the first word, breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bailey Lipschultz. Bailey, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. As you said, futures are little changed as investors digest the latest headlines regarding the U.S.-China trade war. Dow is up 15 points, S&P lower by 4, with the NASDAQ unchanged. U.S. 10-year yield at 2.46%. Shanghai fell 3.1% overnight, while European markets are trading higher, led by gains in Germany. Back in the U.S., on the economic front, at 8:30, consumer price index and hourly earnings data, and at 2 o'clock, U.S. monthly budget statement. After the bell last night, Symantec said its CEO is stepping down and announced a weaker-than-expected forecast. Shares are down 16% in the pre-market, and Zillow Group shares are indicated higher after second-quarter revenue topped estimates. Regarding IPOs, Uber priced its shares at $45 each, near the bottom of a marketed range, and Anheuser-Busch is said to target a July IPO for its Asia-Pacific operators. In other news, Citigroup upgraded United Health, Anthem, and Centene, saying the recent slide is extreme and overdone. And wrapping things up, Ford upgraded to buy at Bank of America. Marathon Petroleum downgraded to underperform at Cowen, and Huntsman was raised to buy at Goldman. Live from the First Word Breaking News Desk, I'm Bailey Lipschultz. Karen.
All right, Bailey, thank you. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And again, futures trimming their losses with S&P futures now down 1.5 points and Dow futures higher by 14. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Donald Trump says he will nominate Patrick Shanahan to be his second Secretary of Defense. Shanahan has been leading the Pentagon as acting secretary since January after Jim Mattis resigned. The three new missiles North Korea has tested over the past week are eerily familiar to military experts. They look just like a widely copied missile the Russians' military has been trying to sell abroad for years. In baseball, the Yankees won along with the Nationals. The A's lost along with the Giants. In the NHL playoffs, the Bruins won game one of their Eastern Conference final against the Hurricanes. NBA playoffs, there will be game sevens, two of them, after last night.
The 76ers beat the Raptors, while the Trailblazers beat the Nuggets. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg, Japan is testing the fastest ever bullet train, the Alpha X, which is capable of speeds of as much as 249 miles an hour. The sleek new train will go into service in 2030, but it may already be dethroned by that time. A maglev line is being built between Tokyo and Nagoya with a top speed of 313 miles per hour for the magnetically levitated train. Nathan, operations start in 2027.
Yeah, yeah. Still can't get to Jersey. Or can it?
It might not.
Yeah.
Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. Still not as fast as I-80. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
That's
Nathan.
Fast, is it? It's 6:50 on Wall Street, and we are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. Let's head down the Acela line, see what's happening in D.C. Some of our top stories in the nation's capital include the U.S. boosting tariffs on $200 billion in Chinese imports as trade talks continue. The Treasury Department reportedly expanding the number of countries it will vet for currency manipulation. And as Michael mentioned, President Trump tapping a loyalist, Patrick Shanahan, to be his defense secretary. For more on all this, we're joined by Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. Of course, this morning, Kate, the trade war, the escalating trade war is front and center for the markets. But how is this affecting the talks that are still set to resume this morning in D.C.?
Well, not to be overly flip about it, but I feel like these talks might be a bit awkward this morning, given that, you know, these tariffs have kicked in. And now we know that, you know, the tensions are escalating, the markets are whipsawing, and Beijing has said that they're going to retaliate, but they haven't said specifically how. So I think in some ways it makes, you know, it's hard to imagine how these talks occurring against that backdrop would be very successful this morning.
Is the messaging whipsawing? I mean, obviously the tariffs are going up, but at the same time, President Trump is talking about this, quote, beautiful letter he received from President Xi and that they could talk themselves. What's happening?
Yeah, so I think this is classic Trump in the sense that, you know, he certainly casts himself as, you know, a hard-nosed negotiator. And I think that basically, you know, what I take at least from the sort of various, you know, the combinations of what's occurred over the last couple of days is that essentially Trump is saying, you know, he's happy to sit down with Xi, he's happy to work out a deal, but it needs to be more on his terms, or at least more on his terms than the deal that was on the table earlier this week.
And at the same time, we're hearing from the Chinese side that they hope that the U.S. will meet them halfway. I mean, where do things go from here, given that tariffs are going up, and it seems as though the U.S. side may be digging in its heels here?
In some ways, I think the ball's really in China's court now. You know, I think the question is, you know, does Xi dig in as well, or does he blink? You know, does he sort of accede to the U.S. kind of resetting the perhaps not resetting, maybe that's unfair, but, you know, sort of digging in on what they think that what they think a deal should look like and essentially saying to China, you know, you need to come further in our direction or, you know, we won't have a deal at all and we'll just go back to these escalating tariffs. I think, you know, the question now is whether China accepts that or whether they dig in as well. And it becomes just sort of a thaw in negotiations like we saw earlier this year.
And we'd be remiss if we didn't mention the political calculation at play here, because the thinking has been that President Trump wants to get a deal in place before the election so he can have something that he can tout to his supporters in the Farm Belt.
Well, absolutely. I think that, you know, his, as you pointed out, his supporters in rural areas, you know, are being already adversely impacted by these trade tensions, and that only, you know, is likely to get worse unless there's some kind of a deal now that there's this trade truce that was in place for about 6 months has been scrapped. I think that the question is whether or not, you know, what kind of a deal could potentially occur, and, you know, whether or not that's something that could happen in time for 2020. And I think if it doesn't, that's a big gamble for Trump because, you know, he could have end up backfiring for him. But I think at the same time, even if that does occur, what we're likely to see is Trump essentially saying, look, I rejected a bad deal from China. I'm a good negotiator. Still vote for me, that kind of a message.
And we should point out that the president this morning in the 6 o'clock hour, Wall Street time, is tweeting about the talk, says they're set to resume later this morning, saying they will continue in a very congenial manner, I should say. He's talking about if the U.S. buys $15 billion of agriculture from farmers, far more than China buys now, we'd have more than $85 billion left over for new infrastructure, healthcare, etc. He says there is no need to rush in trade talks with China. Where does that leave things?
I mean, I think, again, this is what we're seeing from Trump, is essentially trying to say, look, a bad deal is worse than no deal. And, to me, that sounds in some ways quite familiar. It's what we're hearing in the UK when it comes to Brexit, and basically they haven't been able to get a deal there. And so in some ways, it does seem like that is Trump's position, and he's trying to essentially play chicken with China. But I don't know that that's necessarily going to yield a compromise down the road. I think Trump is sort of holding out these as, potential benefits, of what the U.S. might characterize as a dream deal. Which is what he did during the campaign as well. But if that deal never comes to fruition, then no one ever sees those benefits.
Only about 30 seconds left here. When you're talking about no need to rush, I mean, does this carry on into the 2020 election cycle?
It certainly could. I mean, we're getting very close to that already.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's a reason to think necessarily that this, basically in the last week, we've moved much further away from getting a deal before 2020 than we were a week ago. So that's the direction things are heading.
Busy Friday. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter, thanks as always. You can read more on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington. Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Karen.
Nathan, thank you. And right now it's time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. Here's John Tucker.
The merchant cash advance industry, which provides an unregulated form of financing for small businesses, has embraced the use of confessions of judgment in recent years. Small businesses sign them as a condition of getting loans, effectively agreeing in advance to lose a court dispute if one later arises. Now Commissioner Rohit Chopra of the U.S. Federal Trade Commission wants the commission to scrutinize potentially abusive terms in small business lending contracts. He says such terms have led to a flood of questionable legal actions against small business borrowers. According to Bloomberg data, cash advance companies have won more than 25,000 judgments against small businesses across the country since 2012. The judgments allow lenders to legally seize borrowers' bank accounts and other assets without a judge's review. And that's the Bloomberg Small Business Report. I'm John Tucker.
Right, John, thank you. And this headline crossing the Bloomberg, JD.com reporting first quarter earnings and revenue that topped analysts' estimates. Meanwhile, futures are moving lower once again. S&P futures down 8 points, Dow futures down 44, NASDAQ futures down 19. We did see some improvement just moments ago, but they have since resumed their declines. 10-year Treasury down 3/32, the yield 2.45%. And Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow is straight ahead. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.